In 1691, John Bunyan published a book called The Jerusalem Sinner Saved, or Good News for the Vilest of Men. The idea of the author was that he would be able to show just how good and gracious God is to the undeserving sinner, given grace and mercy to them. God can reach the vilest of sinner, the greatest and the biggest sinner that you or I would know. The goodness and the grace of God can save and cleanse that person. That is the theme of John Bunyan's book, that God will reach the vilest of sinner. Total redemption, complete forgiveness. That's the theme of his book. That the prisoner in the camp to the person in the church needs to be saved, can be saved, and must be saved. Vile sinners need to be saved. Nice sinners needed to be saved. In verse 1 of Luke 15, the Bible tells us, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Publicans and sinners in Bible times were despised by the Jews. They were the vilest of sinners. The publicans, of course, were the tax collectors, corrupt, dishonest, untrustworthy people, considered by many as thieves. They worked with the government against the people. The taxes were taken, and then their bit was put on, and more was taken from the people. And they were looked on as the vilest and the most dishonest of people in society of that time. And then you had the sinners, the publicans, and then there were the sinners. They were just the lowest of the low, the religious, righteous people. Those self-righteous religious men, they would have looked at the sinners and they would have looked down on those people as the lowest of all society. Those religious men of that day, they believed themselves to be higher and greater than these people. The Bible says, of course, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The scribes and the Pharisees of that day, they had a hatred for Jesus in their heart. They watched Jesus and they followed Jesus. They heard everything that he said and they watched everything that he did. The scribes and Pharisees, they mixed with the people and they decided, this is time now that we remove this man. They had a plan and they had a purpose. And my text tonight is verse 2, because the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." These self-righteous, religious Pharisees, scribes, that was what really annoyed them the most. That Jesus, the Son of God, who left the splendor of heaven, came down into this earth. He was born, was in a manger. He walked and he talked and he sat with sinners. He ate with them. He received them. He took time with the sinner. You know, my friend, tonight, how would you describe yourself? How would you describe yourself? Would you describe yourself tonight as a vile sinner? Would you describe yourself as a nice sinner? Would you even at all describe yourself as a sinner? I have, for a number of years, did relief chaplaincy work in the prisons. And those men there will readily admit to you that they have done wrong and that they are sinners and they are guilty of the crimes and the sins that they have committed. Hence, that's why they are where they are. But maybe here tonight in this church, you're the religious person. You are what you would call a nice person. Can I ask you tonight, would you describe yourself as a sinner? Or are you like the Pharisee and the scribe, caught up in your own religion, your church attendance, and the goodness that is in your heart? The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Well, Jesus, the person that you hear about from this pulpit week after week, is who is described in verse 2. Jesus, the Son of God, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Someone once said that it is the mark of a great man when they can take huge criticism and turn it into their advantage. And Jesus did this many times. Here were these religious leaders and they were criticizing him. What does Jesus do in verse 3? He begins to speak a parable. He hears, he knows what they say. The murmurs of these men in the multitude that day, the Lord knew their heart. He knew all about them. And in verse 3, he begins to speak a parable to all that were gathered, the religious and the irreligious, the scribes, the Pharisees, the publicans, the sinners, whoever was there that day. Jesus begins to tell the parables. He tells the story of the lost son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep. These religious hypocrites thought that the only people that were holy and righteous were themselves. They did not need to be near these filthy, sinful, despised people. I remember as a student doing outreach for a mission, and I remember going down, we were talking to a lady at the house, and the house beside hers was her son, and he could not understand. He came to see what we were talking about. We told him what we were there for, and he did not for one moment admit or acknowledge that his mom, let alone he, was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This criticism, Christ turns it into a challenge. He uses it to his advantage in the challenge of these publican sinners, Pharisees, scribes, those that were in the multitude that day. And you know this, my friend, you're better with local knowledge than I am. In the place where you live, whether it's Portadown or further out, I want you to think for a moment of the person that you would describe to be the worst sinner that you know in your whole life. They've either lived beside you, you've either worked with them, or maybe they're even a member of your family. I want you to think for a moment of the person that you would describe as the worst sinner, either by their deeds or by their appearance. Think of how you would react if they were to come in to this church tonight and sit down right beside you. Maybe they didn't look so good. Maybe they didn't act so good. Maybe even they didn't smell so good. The worst sinner that you know. And they're sitting right beside you in the meeting tonight. What does verse 2 say? The Pharisees, the scribes, they murmured against Jesus Christ. Why did they murmur against him? Because they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I remember speaking to an elder of one of our churches about outreach and reaching out into the community. And I threw that challenge to him for what he was saying. I said, and how would you react, or what do you think you would do if the worst sinner of this town was to come in and sit right down in the pew beside you on Sunday morning? What would you do? Jesus Christ receives sinners. And the good news for you tonight is, if he didn't, you and I would have no hope. If he didn't, you and I would have no hope. If Jesus Christ did not receive publicans or sinners, if he didn't eat with them, if he didn't sit with them, if he didn't die for them, you and I would be lost tonight. Christ's enemies here are making a challenge, but Christ offers salvation, and he begins to tell these parables to illustrate the truth of these things. With verse 2 in mind, I want us to consider the affiliation of Christ. Verse 2 says, this man. The scribes and the Pharisees, they never referred to Jesus as Lord, because he wasn't. They never called him Messiah. They never called him the Son of God. They were his enemies. They were against him. Why would they have given him those titles? They just called him this man. What an awful title. What an awful thing to say. This man. They did not give him his proper title. They were his enemies. They did not like him. They did not warm to him. They did not want him. They didn't want the multitude to follow him. They didn't want the Lord Jesus to work the works he worked, to say the things that he said. If we think of the inspiration of Scripture, it has placed this there to remind us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And these men were his enemies. They referred to him as this man. Jesus is my Savior. How would you describe him today? If someone was to ask you, how would you describe to me Jesus Christ? What would you say? Maybe you're just a religious person and you would say, well, this man Jesus, he is this and he is that and he is the other thing. But can you say today that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you affiliated to Christ? Do you belong to him? In this, we consider his humanity. As you go through the New Testament, verses like John 11, verse 35, you will discover that Jesus wept. Hebrews 4, in the verse 15, it tells us there, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ knew and knows how we feel. We see the mystery of his incarnation. The Lord, he was Lord, but yet he was a man. Turn over to John chapter 1 and the verse 14. John chapter 1 and the verse 14. There's greater theologians than me to speak about these things. But the scripture explains it for us in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse explains the mystery of it all. Jesus Christ left the heavens. He left the glory of heavens, the blissful place that it was, to come down into this earth, to hunger, to be weary, to feel thirst, to shed his blood upon the cross, that you and I might be saved. As we go through the scriptures, we see that Christ is mocked. We know that he was scorned. We read that he feels the pain. We know that he understood the rejection, that he was despised and rejected by many. Christ suffered it all. Why? For you and for me. That we the guilty, yes, that we the sinner. Call yourself the sinner tonight. Yes, this man, verse 2, receiveth sinners. That's you and that is me. If you are saved tonight, a sinner saved by grace, Christ offers us so much. He offers us eternal life. He offers us cleansing. He offers us peace. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us that promise of a home in heaven. The incarnation of Christ is a great mystery. Why? I hear you ask. John 3 in the verse 16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ministry of his incarnation, that was the mystery. The ministry, what reason? Why did God give himself for us? Why did he become man for us? Did he do it for himself? No, he did it for us. Matthew 20 in the verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to minister. The God of heaven deserves our worship tonight. He came to care. He came to help. He came to draw near. He came to comfort. He came to be a wonderful Savior. He did all of these things for you, and he did all of these things for me. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He ministered to the needy. What does it say in verse 2? He receiveth sinners. And friend, tonight that's you and that is me. You must take the sinner's place if you have ever any hope of heaven. If you have never taken the sinner's place, you will never be in heaven. Because the sinner is the person that Jesus has come to save. He didn't come to call the righteous, the Bible says, but he came to call the sinner to repentance. Have you ever repented of your sin? The Bible tells us over there in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 10 and the verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that ye may be able to bear it. The Lord knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows who we are. Temptations come. And there's the temptation there not to call yourself a sinner, not to acknowledge our sin. But there is that way of escape. The way of the cross leads home. The way for that sinner to come to Christ. Christ is our mediator. That simply means he is a go-between. He comes between two parties to broker a deal, to make the way smooth. And you and I are sinners lost. God is righteous and God is holy. So God is here with his righteousness and his holiness, and we are here with our sin, separated. And Jesus Christ came to make a way to bring us to him. Jesus is that mediator. 1 Timothy 2 and the verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "who gave himself a ransom for all." You know, my friend, tonight you and I can't do anything for ourselves. We need Christ. Salvation is only ours in Christ. Salvation is only ours if we come to Christ. What was his mission? To redeem the lost. In Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 14, we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, the power of the wicked one." Why did he do it? To destroy death. The sting of death is sin. To defeat the devil, to destroy sin and to deal with it. Friend, where is your sin? Is it at the cross? Luke 15, verse 2, this man. What does this man mean to you tonight? What does Jesus Christ mean to you? These religious leaders said this in hatred. But you know, as we examine this little phrase tonight, it's actually very accurate. It's a very accurate and true statement by the enemies of Christ, because they did not belong to him. They were not of his. They were against him. Christ has affiliated with us in his humanity. He belongs to us. He wants you now to trust him. He wants you to come and take that sinner's place. He wants you to be his, in his family. In the prayer time just before the service, I was in the closing prayer thinking about the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, and the Lord knew she had touched the hem of his garment. And she told him the truth. The Lord asked the question, "Who touched me?" And she just told him everything, because he knew it anyway. And the first thing the Lord said to her was, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Are you a son or a daughter of Christ's? Do you belong to him? We notice also the acceptance of Christ, because verse 2 tells us he receiveth and eateth with sinners. Some people say, "Well, I can't be saved. I can't be a Christian because of the things I've done, because of the places that I have been." Now, I'm not an expert in original language, but that word receiveth in the original language simply means the arms are open. The Lord will receive you in with open arms. That's what the word really gives us the idea of meaning, that the arms are outstretched. In verse 2, receiveth with the arms open. You know, friend, tonight as a sinner, if you were to come to Christ, the arms would be outstretched. His arms would be open. Jesus has done this for many. There are many in this meeting tonight, and those outstretched arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, those arms of invitation, and they have run to Christ. These scribes and Pharisees could not comprehend this. You see, Jesus Christ unwelcomes the unwelcomable, if there's such a word. And we see that from verse 11 of this chapter. We go down to the son who left his father's house. He divided unto them his living, and with heavy heart, the Bible says in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He spent it all. You know the story. He spent everything that he had. He lived the life that he wanted to live. He lived a sinful life filled with pleasure. And the Bible says when he had nothing, he came to himself. In verse 17, he came to himself. He had a realization that the place where he would be better off was in the Father's house. And he said, "I will arise, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." He was going to confess his sin to his father. Now, if that was your son or if that was my son, what would we have done? But notice what this father did. The Bible tells us he was a great way off in verse 20. The father was looking for the son, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is part of what the Lord is saying to these religious leaders. As they gave the opening for the Lord to speak, this is what he said. He told this story a great way off. The father saw him. He ran, he met him, he kissed him. Why? Because he loved him. For God so loved the world. Jesus loves you tonight. He loves you so much, he died for you. Maybe tonight you feel that you are unwelcomeable. You can't be saved. You can't be welcomed into his family. You've said no too often. You've sat in too many meetings. Your heart, you feel, is too hard. As the hymn writer put it, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus wants to receive you tonight. His arms are outstretched. His arms are open wide. How and why does Jesus welcome sinners? Because he died for them. Because he loved them. He loves us tonight. He loved us so much that he gave himself for us in Calvary. 1 Peter 3 in the verse 18, for Christ hath also once suffered for sin, died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Friend, tonight he died for you. You will be received. Whether you think that you're a righteous sinner or whether you think that you're a vile sinner, the acceptance of Jesus Christ, he receiveth sinners. He will receive you. Didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, my friend, tonight, these scribes and Pharisees, they struggled to identify themselves as sinners. Can you see how pompous they were? Just read this verse 2 for yourself. Just think about it for a moment. They were so condescending. They said, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, they hadn't even the courage to speak it out loud. They murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Looking down on the sinner, not realizing they themselves are one. Friend, tonight, have you ever taken the sinner's place? Do you see yourself as a sinner? In 1830, George Wilson was sentenced to hang for a robbery that he had committed. The president had issued a pardon to Wilson. He was to hang for the crime he had done. But what did Wilson do? He refused it. He didn't want the pardon. And the Chief Justice Marshall heard of the pardon. And he also heard that Wilson had rejected the pardon. And Chief Justice Marshall, he said, he must hang. And when asked why, he simply said this. This pardon is only a piece of paper. Its value is only realized when it is received and accepted by the person to whom it is offered. You know, my friend, tonight we can apply that to salvation. Because here you are, and you could probably preach better than I can. You probably know the scriptures greater and longer and in bigger and better depth than me. And the pardon that is offered to you tonight is only realized when it is received and accepted. Tonight, Jesus Christ offers you a pardon. Will you accept it or will you reject it? This man receiveth sinners. And tonight his arms is outstretched. Those nail-pierced hands of Christ offers you that pardon. And you will only realize it when you accept it. Notice with me the action of Christ. Because in this text it tells us, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In this region, their custom was to bring someone into their home that they could eat with them, have fellowship with them, socialize with them. In any degree with a sinner, that was unheard of. That was not accepted at all. The publicans and the sinners did not expect this man, Jesus, not only to be with them, to have any time for them, but to come and to sit with them and to eat with them. This shows you the person that Jesus was. This shows you the love that he had for them. This is why it was such a surprise. This is why the scribes and the Pharisees were filled with disgust. Everyone avoided the sinner. In that case, no one would speak to us. No one would enter the sinner's home. But Jesus did. He would share with them. And you know, friend, tonight, he will share with you. You know, as we consider this portion, Jesus eats with these people. He is feasting. He is the greatest feast. Whenever we consider over in John chapter 6 and the verse 35, who is this person, Jesus? John 6 and the verse 35. The Bible tells us there, Jesus said, "Unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So you say to me tonight, Mark, can I be saved? Jesus that we read about in verse 2, this man eateth, and he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Can I be saved? Well, verse 37 of that portion in John, "All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You know, as we consider this portion in Luke chapter 15, as we think about the lost sheep, you know the story, but to illustrate the point, the shepherd had 100 sheep. And every night, in routine, he would bring in the sheep and count them in safely into the sheepfold. Until this night, there was one sheep that was lost. Verse 4, what did he do? He left the 100, he left the 99, and went in search of the 100th sheep. One sheep, and it was important. He laid it on his shoulders in verse 5, and he brought it safely back. Verse 6, I have found my sheep which was lost. That's you tonight. One sheep. You're important. That's you. Then he tells in verse 8 about the woman with 10 pieces of silver. Sure, the shepherd had 99 other sheep. What was important about the one? Here was a woman with 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. What did she do? She swept the house diligently, the Bible says, till she found it. She looked and she looked and she sought until she found the coin. Some would say, sure, there are 9 other coins. Why bother with the one that's lost? The Bible says she searched diligently till she found it. And when she did, what did she do? She rejoiced. She rejoiced. The chapter, and we not read the portion because it's long, it's the son. When the father found the lost son, sure he had a son at home. What was the importance of the other son? Because he loved the son. And he rejoiced. And you know this in verse 10, the Bible says, "Likewise, I say unto you, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You know, it could be said tonight that what's the importance for the sinner in Portadown Church tonight? Sure, as we think of this church tonight, sure, there are a lot of people here that saved tonight. There's a lot of people in this place, and they're born again. They identify as Christians. They say that they were sinners. They say, yes, I was a sinner, but praise God, I'm saved. I once was a sinner, but now I'm free. A sinner saved by grace. The thing could be, sure, sinners, scribes and Pharisees, what would they say? This man receiveth sinners. They're just sinners. Just a sheep. Just a coin. Just a son. You know, my friend, tonight you're just a sinner, as I am too. Saved by grace. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died just for sinners. He came to call, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This man receiveth sinners. Will you receive him tonight? Will you come to Christ? I read a story of a man called Edgar Harrell. And he said this. He was one of 300 survivors in the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. That was the last ship belonging to the US to be sunk in World War II. 600 of 900 men died when that ship sank. 300 men. Edgar wrote this. "While I was in the water, there were no atheists that day. When a man faces death and he sees the face of the Almighty looking at him, how the pride and stubbornness of heart is gone. An atheist on the deck. We don't need God, but yet drowning in the sea, we cry unto him. You know, my friend, tonight this man receiveth sinners. Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. And he wants to save you tonight. Friend, tonight I wonder, will you come and trust him? Will you have him as your Savior? Will you take the sinner's place? Maybe you say, I wouldn't know what to say and I wouldn't know what to do. Just come and tell him the truth. And say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you to save me. Cleanse me, wash me in your blood. We're going to close with the hymn 232. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and in pain. Friend, for a long time now, he has been calling you. This man receiveth sinners. Let's stand as we sing 232, please.